Welcome to Morph Into a New You, part of MHNRnetwork.com. Your host, Johnny Calloway, is the author of several books, including Taming the Dragon, Dragons to Butterflies, The Metamorphosis of a Man, and The Bridge. He will be having conversations with people from all walks of life. Healing really is an inside job that transforms you to become a better version of you. We must change our self-talk and inner dialogue so we can start to believe. A special thanks to our sponsor, Meaningful Expressions, at m-expressions.com. They can take a concept, thought, or personal brand and turn it into a visual masterpiece that you can use to raise awareness about your passion or cause. They've certainly done that with our podcast website. And thank you for joining Johnny as you morph into a new you.
Hello, everybody. I'm Johnny Calloway, host of Morph Into a New You, where we believe that in order to change your life, you got to change your mind about your life. And we have Reverend Elizabeth from Unity of Sarasota here with us today. And I'm going to let Miss Elizabeth tell you a little about herself and her church, and then we're going to get going on this show. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hi, Johnny. Thank you so much for having me today. I greatly appreciate it. And I don't know about talking about myself. I'm better off if you ask me questions. But I certainly can talk about the Unity movement and am glad to share my perspective after being in it since 1978, pretty much on every side you could be in it.
So what's the foundation of what Unity teaches, Elizabeth?
Well, the foundation of Unity is we call it practical Christianity. And I think as we are evolving into being more intergenerational and interspiritual, we would say practical spirituality, where we understand that there's one presence and one power, almost like one energetic field that we live and we move and we have our being. And it is always interactive. It is creative. It is dynamic. And it is beneficent. That's a fancy word of saying all good, all God, all the time.
I like that. I like that a lot. So I know I've been a student of A Course in Miracles for a little over 30 years. And I went to the Unity Church here in Sarasota when it was on Coconut Avenue many years ago. The similarities of what the two teach are so incredible. And I know to tag on to what you were talking about, one of the things I love is that truthfully, we are one. And I kind of think of it like we are all cells of one body, just like the cells of our body, our earthly body. And we make up a child of God together. We are one. So how does that tie into what you have at Unity?
Well, I like that. And Charles Fillmore, one of the co-founders, along with his wife Myrtle, always said, do not hold me to what I say today because I reserve the right to change my mind. And tying into that, I love what you say, we are all cells of one body. And I believe as one cell evolves, so too does God evolve. And many people are catching on to this idea that God is experiencing itself through each of us. And as we wake up to our potential, just like the expanding universe, the evolution of a spiritual understanding expands, and maybe even the creator expands.
Wow.
So I like to think of it that way, and that therefore it is up to me to awaken to my own divine spark. Unity says that we are like the drop in the ocean. We have all of the qualities of the ocean, but we would not mistake ourselves for the ocean. Does that make sense?
It makes absolute sense. And actually, it's almost a direct quote from A Course in Miracles. It says, I can't remember the quote right now, but it says almost exactly what you just said about the ocean, which I'm a devout student of A Course in Miracles. Anytime I can make a tie in there, I'm all about it. So
we have a book that was written at the turn of the 20th century by Dr. Emily Cady, and that was one of her basic premises in one of her lessons, that just as we are spirit and soul and body, we're like an ice cube. The spirit is the gas that is undifferentiated, equally everywhere present. The thought or the soul is like the water that's flowing, and the ice cube is like the body, but we're still all one substance. And even though this is a podcast, I'm catching myself talking with my arm, so I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I can talk without my hands.
That's quite all right. If I get real excited, which I'm subject to do, I slap the table. So my sound editor has told me 2 or 3 times, Johnny, you can get excited, just don't slap the table. I have to edit that out. And I get quite excited when I'm talking about my passion, which is spirituality and all of that. Now, what we do on my show, Elizabeth, is we try to tie in how spirituality can help us psychologically. Now, yes. with that being said, if I came to you off the street, basically, and I'm having these, I've been diagnosed as bipolar, let's say, and I'm having these issues, what would be your first thing to say to me without knowing a lot of the actual story of mine?
Yes. Well, first of all, I would not pretend to fix you. That would not be my job. My job or my role as friend, as a brother or sister with you would be to create a sacred space where you would be free to explore where you are and where you wish to be. And for me to have the understanding that you're a child of God and that you did not inherit sickness, and there is no such thing as an incurable diagnosis, and that the soul is much bigger, the spirit is much bigger than a diagnosis or than a body condition. That doesn't mean that I wouldn't direct you to go to a therapist and be on your meds. One of the phrases at Unity is we say, we go to God, and then we go to humanity as God directs.
I love that.
Yeah, so that's, I don't pretend to try to fix people, but I do cultivate sacred space by accepting them where they are. And from this place of safety, we can often tap into our authentic, genuine self, which is way beyond any diagnosis or illness.
If I were in the room with you right now, I would hug you because I love what you just said. Because the thing is, we can't fix each other, but we can't hold that space. One of my big, I don't know what to really call it, one of my very strong beliefs is that it all starts with my mind and my thought. And if I can, like my tagline for Morph Into a New You, in order to change your life, you got to change your mind about your life. So if I can start changing my perception by changing the way I think about things, I can start to heal.
Well, yes, we can do that. And sometimes we forget that my thoughts are intersecting with your thoughts. My energy signature is intersecting with your energy signature. And we're continually in a sphere of influence. But my teacher, Reverend Catherine Jarvis, used to say, the highest consciousness is always in charge. And this is the consciousness of love. And the insight that we are, that there's a higher power that we can tap into.
I'm still hugging you. So I love that, that you brought in love. Now, what does Unity Church say about our essence and the whole love concept? What
we would talk about love as being not a feeling, but a principle that is magnetic in its quality. It is an attracting principle, and we can be out of alignment with the principle of love in that we begin to love a disease, say, more than we love wholeness, or we can love lack and limitation more than we love abundance, and it is a matter of focalizing our attention. And Johnny, you spoke of the mind as being the originator. And I do agree with that, but I like to bring it into a calibration of the mind, the emotions, the words, the actions, all being in sync so that we're headed in the same direction and we're not sending mixed messages to this universal field of influence. And that way, Unity would agree with me, which is good.
Good. Well, I've always kind of, I shouldn't say always, but since I've been trying to straighten my life out and evolve, my opinion has been, it's like I have a thought that's followed with a feeling, that's followed with a belief, that's followed with a behavior. If I can change the thought, It yes. just has the ripple effect. And by when I get down to the point where I've actually changed the behavior, I have changed my life.
Now, if you just reduce or eliminate the time factor, we can find that it can be synonymous and all at once.
Right. Yes. Yeah. I totally agree with that. To the point that you don't even know there's a space between, because they happen simultaneously with some sense of order to them. So, yes, I totally agree with that. It's beautiful. So
wonderful.
Tell me what you do, you, Elizabeth, at Unity, and what your role is and what you're trying to accomplish with your facility.
In a perfect world, I am a vision keeper. I'm not a fixer. I'm not a maker. I might stir the pot. I am primarily one who offers a roadmap where people, they can follow it if they choose. And this roadmap leads them to junctures of ways they can turn and go and to get from one place in consciousness into another place. But what I don't do is I don't fix people. I don't really even influence them. I simply facilitate an awakening to principles that they can use themselves. So I'm a vision keeper. So they tell me, where do they want to go? And then I hold this vision with them as they prepare to go there. And then we jump off into the unknown, recognizing we are in charge of our thoughts, as you've so beautifully said. We're in charge of our intentions. We're in charge of our words and our actions. What we're not in charge of is the outcome. And when we can allow the outcome to be as spirit would direct, then we are at a much happier place or a much more peaceful place. Because really, the sacred laboratory of life is more about learning how what I think, what I say, what I feel, and how I act are one congruent whole that the universe will mirror back to me in its own time and in its own way. But my job is to be very clear on what it is I am offering. You talked about the Course in Miracles. One of the classes that I have been facilitating for well over a year, which is an offshoot of the Course in Miracles, is called The Way of Mastery. And in The Way of Mastery, there is a purpose for every human being, which is to extend love. And this means that I'm extending what is good, what is whole or holistic, and what is beautiful. But I do it appropriately, as led by spirit, in terms of what the condition is asking of me. For example, I can extend love to my husband in a very different way than I would extend love to my grandchildren. And then I would extend love to a congregant or a stranger. So through this wisdom, we're given this opportunity to extend what I call our own love, a verb, mindfully and with wisdom. Now I'll be quiet.
Oh, no, don't be quiet. This is the two of us here, so I love what you're saying. Course in Miracles talks about that it really doesn't aim to teach the meaning of love, because that is beyond what can be taught. But it does aim, however, at removing the blocks to love's awareness.
Beautifully said.
Yes, and so part of what I try to do with anybody that I try to work with is like, okay, let's see if we can discover the lies that you've been telling yourself that keep you from seeing the love that you are. Because the ego will tell us we're all kinds of things other than love. So to peel that onion and get through all those lies, and sometimes there are layers and layers and layers of lies that we've built around ourselves to keep the light from showing through. Does that make sense to you?
It does. And as I listen to this word, the word, the lie, I guess my approach would be, while I might recognize where I have told myself something that was false, my focus and my attention would be on uncovering what was true and ignoring or starving out the lie, because I am feeding myself the truth. And I don't do so without compassion. One of the things that I'm aware of is, for myself, I have a huge ego. You can't be a minister without an ego. you are always getting feedback of by how you share. And that feedback might be, well, I don't like her hair, or I'm not sure that I agree with what she said. And the ego, if I get enough of those messages, my ego will say, wow, if you got five of those, then maybe you better pay attention. And so in that way, the ego can be an ally that gives me information so I can refine the message that I'm really wanting to share. So I use the ego as a messenger to tell me where I've missed the mark, but I don't use it as an advisor. I might use it as a teacher. I use it. It doesn't use me.
Right. And I can take all of its messages. Part of my approach to my own healing has been discovering the tactics of the ego, because the tactics of the ego, it's like a general in a war, and it has tactics. And it has methods that it uses. And if I can become aware of its tactics, I can stand in the presence of them and not buy into them.
Yes, it does. And I have the general too. I also have the helpless blonde. I have the femme fatale. I have the shrew. I have the babe in total control of herself. And I have the top sergeant. And when I understand these aspects, it really becomes quite comical. And so the ego for me gets displaced when I can start to laugh with it.
Right.
Say, oh, isn't that cute? There she goes again.
Exactly. One of the phrases that I use today for myself and anybody I'm trying to help is learning how to observe myself with a gentle curiosity instead of being that critical parent that's immediately like, you knew better. You should do this. You should do that. It's like I can say to myself today with the gentle curiosity, wow, isn't that interesting that I'm still trying to pull that same old trick that never worked before?
Yes. Well, Johnny, mine is awesome.
Okay, I almost hit my table there. So I like that. Well, I actually, in 1984 is when I started trying to turn my life around. I've been a very insane drug addict and alcoholic and in and out of trouble all the time. And after I found A Course in Miracles and I started discovering the whole concept of an ego, and it wasn't just my mind beating me up, I actually named my ego so that when I would start getting those messages of like all the crazy stuff I was supposed to do, and actually the name was Danny Joe. And I would say, now listen, Danny Joe, you don't get to run my life today. I can make a better decision than the one you're trying to get me to do. And it kind of separated the me that I feel I am today from the me that I thought I was then. Because all those crazy thoughts I thought defined me. And today I know they don't.
Well, how did Danny Joe respond to this acknowledgement?
Actually, he would throw a little hissy fit and he would start screaming and kicking. But my ego also learns, and it learned after a while that the hissy fit wasn't going to work. So it started training, learning new tactics. Okay, let me try this. The screaming's not working with this guy anymore. So let me try to mislead him now with a softer voice. And so I had to evolve with it and learn, okay, just because it's quiet doesn't mean it's not Danny Joe. So does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Mine is sweet and kind. And bless her heart. And I have that as well. And that's when it gets amusing, when I catch it. And as soon as I catch it, I'm even finding that this fractured or fractioned off part of myself can reintegrate so that it is safe for this voice to come back into the fray and understand its proper place, which is really to keep me from running out on Highway 75 and getting run over. So the ego keeps me safe. It has many things to tell me so my spiritual self won't go off into a flight. That's how I play with it. And we use ego now in the 21st century, where back in the time of the biblical time, they used demon and Satan.
Right. I don't care what you call it. It's always the same thing. In the rooms of the 12-step meetings, they call it the disease. And in A Course in Miracles classes, we call it the ego. Christianity, we call it Satan, Lucifer, the devil. It's all the same thing. To me, it's an energy that, to me, it's an energy that tries to keep me from knowing God and from connecting with my fellow man. And as long as it can keep me in the darkness, it doesn't care what I call it. So.
And it is you.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, it's not separate from us. It's a, or at least that's what I teach, that it is an immature part of us that falsely believes it's separate from God, or falsely believes it's separate from another person, or thinks that it can escape a condition that it needs to deal with.
I have a friend, to tag on to what you just said, I have a friend, she's been a psychologist, and there's no telling how many workshops this lady has led. And her thing that tags into what you're just saying is, in order to heal it, you got to feel it. And one of the things that I use is, you have to face the dragon to become the butterfly. And because what we want to do is avoid anything that feels negative and whatever. And we use all kinds of tools to try to avoid it. But when I can stand in the presence of my pain and experience it, I can get to the other side of it without running from it or fighting it.
Yeah, honoring it.
Honoring.
Embrace.
Yeah.
And that goes, that transforms it. Yeah, we're on the same page. It's a mutual admiration.
Yeah. So we're still hugging. Yeah. So tell the listener what you got going on at Unity Church right now as far as classes and what you're doing there.
Well, I didn't bring the calendar, but we have a class with Dieter Randolph and his wife Jenny called Bring on the Fire. We are in the process of, on Wednesday and Thursday, I believe it's the 12th and the 13th, maybe it's the 13th and the 14th, we have Global World Day of Prayer, which is a 24-hour period where we will be looking at, what does it mean to be an agent of peace? And isn't it more than just a feeling or the absence of outer conflict? We'll also have a lunch on that Thursday to have a roundtable discussion, and we'll have people holding vigil for 24 hours. We have a number of classes, and I didn't bring my calendar with me. We have Zan Benham that offers the attraction, a class on being the attracting power that is based on the Abraham Hicks material. I am facilitating a class on the way of mastery. And in the coming months, I'll be doing something on being your own gospel, writing your own sacred story, and having the power to change your script.
Oh, wow.
If you don't like reading, change it again. And that is to tap into our peace, our poise, and our power as a spiritual being. And I just finished a class, or I am finishing tonight, a class on finding yourself in transition, how to move through it with grace and get on the other side, entering in your own promised land. They can always go to the website, it's changing, or our Facebook. So right now we are considering how to be a loving change agent, as even as we speak, Houston is going through this incredible storm that is totally, literally changing the landscape of the city. And we want to walk our talk. We want to walk the prayer talk. We are taking up monies that will be distributed to them. As much as we'd like to send diapers and blankets and water, the liquid money, the fluid energy of money is a much better thing to do. So we have a lot of things going on with lots of different teachers. And I would say Unity of Sarasota seeks to be a spiritual center 24/7 that celebrates the spiritual exploration.
I love that.
We had our One World Bookstore had a book signing, and you were there, and you were promoting your material.
It was beautiful what you provided there and what your church did for us authors, and it was just beautiful, and I was so grateful to get to be a part of that. And that's one of the reasons, because of what you do in the community, that I wanted to get you out in the forefront here and let people know what you're doing and where your heart is, because I haven't attended a lot of Unity services in quite some time, but I have always loved the heart of Unity because of what you teach, and it's universal. And it comes in many different forms. I used to run a center here in town called the Shanti Center, which is a Sanskrit word that means the peace center. Shanti means peace. And part of the goal there was to provide a bridge between the different modalities so they could have a space to realize that we do all teach the same thing for the most part. There might be a little glitch here or a little glitch there, but for the most part, we're love and we're trying to reconnect with that. So I know that that's a big part of what you do, and I just wanted to get you guys out in the forefront here. And speaking of love, I want to take us backwards for a moment.
Okay.
I did a podcast a while back with a Dr. Michael Rice, and I don't know if you're familiar with him or not. I know he used to do things with Unity, but one of the things that he said that I really wrapped my mind around was love is not a verb. It's a noun. It's not what we do. It's what we are. And he used this analogy, which I thought was really neat. He said, if you pick up a small baby and you feel really good about having that infant in your arms, is it because that baby's loving you? And he pointed out that the thing is, it's not because that baby's loving you. It's because that baby opened the space for the love that's already in you. It just provided a way for that to open up so you could feel that. Because we have a tendency, in my experience, to keep ourselves closed off to that, like we're afraid of it. And then somebody, something will show up and say, oh, let's open that door. And I love that whole idea. What are your thoughts between the noun and the verb of love?
Yes, I was thinking, yes, both and. I wouldn't limit it to say, well, it's not a verb, it's a noun, and nor would I limit it by saying, no, it's a noun and not a verb. It's all of the above. It is just like we are spirit, soul, and body, we cannot be separated. So the idea of love culminates in an activity and also reveals itself in circumstances. So we have the idea, we have the intention, we have the circumstance where it plays itself out. And so I'd say yes. All of the above.
All of the above.
Not limited.
Doesn't have to be either or.
Not in the quantum world and not in the spiritual world.
No, I love that. I love that. So you have a website, correct?
Yes.
And what would that be?
It's unityofsarasota.com. We haven't changed it to .org. I mean, we should because we're a 501c3. But it's sort of like it's like a round to it. We haven't yet. But and we have a Facebook. And it's Unity of Sarasota, where you can see the things. The Facebook's a little more dynamic than the website, but the website will give you all the information as well. And then there's that old-fashioned thing of picking up the phone or showing up on Sunday.
Great.
So,
as we had this discussion, the thought keeps occurring to me, and actually it had occurred to me before we ever spoke, because I had spoken with you at the church a couple of times briefly. I'm going to extend the invitation that you and I have a revisit in like 6 weeks, and we'll put to the table a particular topic. And then if we could do that, like, I wouldn't mind if we did that like every 6 weeks for a period of time, and bring more people into what you're doing and let more people know.